of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord God, our strength. The struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 32 responsively. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away. Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, in whose spirit there is no guile. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. For your hand, summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct. Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God, and the free gift in the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of one man's trespass death exercise dominion through the that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the angel left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Last summer at my niece's wedding in South Dakota, I was delighted to watch my young cousins trying to make relationship connections with this new family. So if you are Grandpa Gary's sister, then that makes you my aunt, right? Taylor is my cousin. And she's your niece, so what's that make us? And my favorite, are you the grandma or the great-grandma? Isn't identity all tied up in relationships? We might think of identity as something very personal, something that we've even developed on our own, but it turns out that identity is firmly rooted in our relationships. And we do define ourselves in terms of relationship. Yesterday we had a memorial service for Joan Doering, and they had this beautiful folder with the obituary and pictures and words about Joan, but it's interesting to me, it's all about relationship. Mom, grandma, aunt. It's all about relationships, how we define ourselves. We have a memorial service tomorrow for one of Pat McGregor's dear friends. And in reading the obituary of this person that I have never met, I saw again how identity was tied up in relationships. In the obituary, he is described son, brother, husband, father, guild member, military person. It's all about who you belong to, who you're related to, and how those relationships are built. It turns out pretty much all we say about someone involves other people. What you might call my identity comes from the bonds of relationships that we have with so many others. This idea of relationships, I think, is key to understanding these scripture readings that we just heard. Both the Genesis reading and the Gospel of Matthew tell us about temptation. And while we might be inclined to describe the content of these temptations as status or power, I think they're really more about identity. Look at that story from Genesis. Adam and Eve, both present during the whole story, are offered the promise of ultimate God-like knowledge. And at the beginning of the serpent's conversation with the woman, he suggests that God is not trustworthy. Did God really say? The serpent starts sowing those seeds of doubt. And finally, he says, "You will not die," completely contradicting the word that they had earlier heard from God. But now, having undermined Adam and Eve's confidence in God, he invites them to form their own identity, independent of their relationship with God. He tells them, "When you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Who needs God when you can be like God yourself? And they fall for the serpent's con, and they attempt to define themselves apart from God. But it all ends badly. Now they are defined not so much by a relationship, but by the lack of it, and by the lack of everything. Their nakedness is pointed out to us. The devil shows up again in Matthew's gospel, this time with temptations for Jesus. These three scenes, the three temptations, are really about identity. The temptations include the capacity to turn stones to bread, to call on angels for safety, and the promise of power and dominion. Notice that the serpent, the devil, begins by trying to undermine the identity of Jesus that he had been given at his baptism. That's the story that we hear immediately before this passage. And in that story that Matthew tells, we hear the voice of God, "This is my son, my beloved." And now the devil starts, "If you are the son of God," calling that identity into question. Just like his exchange with Adam and Eve, the devil seeks to rob Jesus of his God-given identity and replace it with one of his own design. Jesus resists the temptations not through strength or sheer willpower, but rather by taking refuge in an identity founded and secured on the relationship with God, with a relationship of absolute dependence on God. Jesus will be content to be hungry, as others are hungry, dependent on God's word and grace for all good things. He will be at risk and vulnerable, as others are, finding safety in the promises of God. And he will refuse to define himself or to seek power apart from that relationship with God, giving his worship and allegiance only to the God who created him, who sustains him. Now, it's not just the devil that seeks to steal our identity. Every day, we are battered on every side by false advertisements from the world that try to create in us a sense of lack a sense of insecurity and inadequacy. Our God-given identity is undermined with the promise that if we buy this thing, or use that product, or change our appearance in this way, that we will be acceptable. The message of this consumption culture is very simple. You are not enough. You're not skinny enough, smart enough, beautiful enough, strong enough, rich enough. You're not enough to deserve respect or love or acceptance. And here's the thing. That's a lie. The devil is making an attempt to steal our identity. And Jesus turns that all upside down and shows us a different way, a way to safeguard our identity by securing it in God's good gift, in God's promise. Jesus demonstrates just how deeply God loves us by going to the cross. The truth is, Jesus did not die on the cross in order that we might be acceptable or make God more loving. Rather, Jesus died to show us that God already loves us and has declared that we are not just acceptable, but also treasured, beloved, priceless beyond measure. Legend has it that when Martin Luther felt oppressed or plagued by doubt or temptation, that he would shout out in defiance, echoing what we heard Jesus say today, "Away with you, Satan! I am baptized." By claiming his true identity as a baptized child of God, he could stand strong and trust in the promise of God's claim on him and God's love. Many years ago, I took my two young nieces, actually the one that I was at the wedding this last summer, I took my two nieces to see the circus when they were about 3 and 4 years old. The youngest one was afraid of elephants, and her dad had told me this before we went to the circus, so we didn't get in that line waiting for the elephant ride, because I knew that she would be scared. So what I didn't know, though, was that her dad had given her a plan of safety so that she could go to the circus with security. We got to the circus and we're in the bleacher seats, and the parade started with all the circus animals and acts are coming out. And as soon as the elephants came, Leanne jumped up on the seat and started yelling, "I am not a peanut, I'm a little girl. I am not a peanut, I'm a little girl." She felt safe when she claimed her identity. Many of us do not remember the day of our baptism when that promise was first traced on our foreheads. But all of us would do well to remember our true identity that is tied to that relationship. In baptism, God has declared us his beloved son, his beloved daughter. God has declared us worthy of love, worthy of dignity, worthy of respect. God has pledged and promised to be with us now and forever. And not only with us, but for us. That is our true identity. That's where we find our safety and security. Whenever we have a feeling of inadequacy or unworthiness, whenever that kind of feeling comes over you, whenever you feel a tug of identity theft by the devil, remember clearly and strongly that God has declared in Jesus that you are enough. Actually, more than enough, because God has claimed you as God's own beloved child, precious, loved, today and always. So cling to that identity, and to hell with the devil, that great liar, that identity theft, thief. Cling to your true identity as a child of God. Amen.